Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. On this first Sunday of Advent, Pastor Chrissy's sermon was titled, The Hope of Darkness. Here's Chris Austin with our scripture reading.
Today's scripture passage comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
From our earliest moments outside of the womb, we are trained to be creatures of the light. Despite the fact that we come into this world with our own unique schedules of being awake and being asleep, one of our parents' first tasks was to train us that when the night comes, when the sun sets, our activities also slow, and it's time to go to sleep. As we age, this lesson about the rhythms of darkness and light, they are reinforced as we learn that it's safe to go outside and play, but when the sun goes down, it's time to come in. You know, anything can happen under the cover of darkness. These lessons are reinforced with visual cues in the movies and the TV shows that we watch. Dark scenes, often accompanied with background music in minor keys, tells us that something terrible might be about to happen. Whereas bright scenes with their accompanying lighter music and major keys put us at ease and gives us a sense that everything is going to be okay. We can relax. These sights and sounds reinforce the idea that darkness is dangerous and light is pretty safe. Darkness is bad and light is good. You can see the dualism begin to emerge. These simplistic lessons about light and dark, they seem innocent enough, but the language of darkness and light has a shadow side, pun intended, at least where our spiritual lives are concerned. Barbara Brown Taylor explores these spiritual consequences in her book called Learning to Walk in the Dark. In the introduction to that book, she writes the following. Darkness is shorthand for anything that scares me. Anything that I want no part of, either because I'm sure that I do not have the resources to survive it, or because I do not want to find out. The absence of God is there in the darkness, she writes, along with the fear of dementia, the loss of those nearest to me, and so is the melting of the polar ice caps and the suffering of children and the nagging question about what it will feel like to die. When we feel close to God, there is light. When we feel the absence of God, we call that spiritual darkness, and we try to stay out of those shadows, living with as much righteousness as we can muster. But when our humanity begins to shine through anyway, or when the difficult times come, we begin to search for those spiritual light switches to flip. We want the quick fixes to eradicate the discomfort of darkness that is thrust upon us inevitably in this life. Is there a prayer to pray, we wonder? A scripture to read? Is there a hymn to sing that will take away our sin and our pain and replant our feet on the brightly illuminated path to glory? Is there a switch to turn on and make the darkness go away? There are indeed many well-worn pathways within the Christian tradition that would support that kind of full solar spirituality, as Barbara Brown Taylor calls it in her book. That is a spirituality that insists that God is light 24/7, every day of the year, and therefore we should work our hardest to find that light and to stay in it. It's not hard to find devotional materials and preachers who will preach a sermon that promises, if you're living right, if you're praying right, if you're going to church, and of course, if you are paying that tithe, God is going to bless you by turning on the light switch. by opening up that celestial floodlight and eradicating the darkness, meaning the sin and the difficulty and the pain once and for all. Of course, though, most of us, over the course of a lifetime, learn that things are not usually so simple. Unluckily for those of us who have yet to find that supernatural light switch, the Bible has a word for us. The Bible reminds us that darkness, too, holds a good measure of hope. That hope resides in the darkest moments of our lives because our very faith story is one that begins in darkness. The very first words of our scripture speak of darkness and chaos. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. That's where our scriptures begin. That's where our faith journey begins. And into that very darkness, that formless void, and the darkness that covered it, God begins to speak creation into being. But before God utters a word, before creation comes out of that darkness, the Spirit is already present, hovering over the darkness and watching, waiting, and working as it bursts forth with potential, unrealized hope for the creation that it was about to become. Now, you and I know the stories that come after that opening piece from Genesis. We know the stories of the people of faith, the nations, the Exodus, the wilderness, and all that comes after. But it might do us well in our own moments of darkness to remember that God has been there before. These words would have been familiar to the first readers of John's Gospel. So familiar that when the Gospel begins with, "In the beginning was the Word," John's listeners would have immediately recognized that Genesis connection. And because they would have recognized that connection, they might have also remembered what came next. First, darkness, then creation. Of course, without having been there, it's hard to know with any kind of certainty what was going through the minds of that Johannine community. Why did John choose to begin his gospel this way? Why does the good news of the incarnation, according to John, begin so differently than it did for Matthew, Mark, and Luke? They saw fit to tell the stories of the people, Elizabeth and Zechariah, Mary and Joseph, John the Baptist, shepherds, kings, and magi, each playing their part in God's unfolding story of incarnation, but not John. John starts with the still and quiet chaos of darkness. It makes me wonder if John's people were struggling. It makes me wonder if when John sat down to write his story about the good news of Jesus Christ, if the people that he loved, the people for whom he was writing the story to begin with, were they in a season of darkness themselves? Were they struggling? Were they searching for a glimpse of hope? But rather than offering them a switch to flip, a theological light switch, an easy answer or a quick solution, John brought them back to the beginning of faith with a reminder that God is, in very nature, present with us in the darkness. It is essential to who God is to hover with us when the chaos comes, when the darkness refuses to leave. God is with us, watching and waiting and working to bring about new creation. Now, it can be tempting to read the Bible with a dualistic lens, one that embraces the solar spirituality that Barbara Brown Taylor describes in her book. But when the seasons of darkness come, when our lights go out, so to speak, full solar spirituality doesn't always cut it. The idea that God is light 24/7 just doesn't ring true in seasons of darkness. Did the darkness come because of some lack of faith that we have? We might ask if we are a part of that full solar faith. Are the lights out because of some unconfessed or ongoing sin that we are aware of, or maybe one that we're not aware of? Are we in this situation because God doesn't hear our prayers, or worse, because God doesn't care to help us anymore? Or maybe we need a new set of questions. Maybe this year, in this particular season of Advent, when there seems to be a whole host of darknesses setting in, maybe we can focus ourselves around some new questions. And maybe we can center our practice on the words of Genesis and John's Gospel, which remind us that the darkness is what is, and the light is what is coming. If we place our hope in these pieces of Scripture, we can be sure that even though the darkness just is right now, God is here with us, hovering, waiting, watching, and perhaps even working to bring about new creation. Today begins the season of Advent that will be unlike any other we've known before. Our traditional services with pews more fully packed than in other seasons, those will have to wait as COVID cases continue to rise. And at the same time, our usual celebrations with family and friends, the bright spots on our weekly calendars, those are also changing as we're discouraged from being close to people and encouraged to keeping our social distance. This enduring pandemic lifestyle is a very real darkness, and it just is right now. And we shouldn't pretend, however, that this is the only darkness that permeates this particular Advent season. This year has exposed so many darknesses for which there is no light switch for us to just flip, nothing for us to do to just make them go away. The darkness of our collective racism, classism, sexism, and so many other social ills that run so deeply within us that even just naming them brings up so much pain. In addition to those, and perhaps on a more individual level, many of us are dealing with our own personal shadows. Denial and greed and selfishness, lies and addiction, loneliness, isolation, brokenness, and so many more unspeakable personal pains have us looking for a closet to hide in while we wait through the darkness, waiting for the light to come whenever it will. This Advent, we might not have all the available lights that we had in the past. No parties, no fancy dinners, no extended meals, no fun travel plans, no church calendar packed with in-person activities to distract us from our own experiences of darkness. But maybe those expressions enabled what really was a full solar spirituality in ways that we were not aware. So maybe this year, in this very different season of Advent, we might consider our current predicament of darkness, whatever that darkness may be. Maybe this year we can consider that an invitation to not run in the other direction, ignoring or denying the darkness that exists in our lives, but perhaps an invitation to take a step boldly into the darkness itself, recognizing that maybe there is a new kind of hope that lives within it. A hope that resides in the knowledge that God is in the darkness with us, hovering, waiting, watching, and perhaps even creating new life. Perhaps for us in this different season of Advent, we might recognize that even in the darkness, there is hope. Amen.